Welcome to the Obesity Medicine Podcast with your host, Dr. Matea Rentilla, board certified in internal medicine and obesity medicine. Here, we talk about a path to metabolic health, and we have real conversations about chronic weight management and living a full life. Just a reminder, I am a physician, but I'm not your physician. So everything that's on this podcast is for informational purposes, but please go talk to your doctor about what's right for you. There is no medical advice being given on this podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I have a really, really exciting treat for you this week. I am releasing a little mini series, and it's not all me talking. One of the episodes will be, but the rest of them, there are three episodes that have been absolutely amazing that Allie Novitsky, she is an obesity medicine board certified physician, but she has practiced for years now with helping people with their fitness and their nutrition and their mental, emotional health. She really packages it all together nicely, but she is extremely knowledgeable, takes a very holistic approach to this, has absolutely amazing advice that is so applicable for how to build muscle, how to maintain muscle. What are some protein goals? How can you even start resistance training? These were topics that I think are so crucial for my audience. I personally asked her, you know, there was an interview a few weeks ago that we did. And then when I heard these episodes, I said, hey, can we do a crossover podcast episode where I bring yours onto mine just so that people can hear this? Because it is such valuable information. And I will leave below every single episode the link for her podcast. I strongly recommend that you go subscribe to her. Go back and listen to previous episodes. I will tell you, her podcast episodes, some of them, I mean, all of them are amazing, but some are so great that I personally include these in the treatment plans for my patients. Often after my visits, I'll send a little summary, a little message to my patient, and there will be a certain podcast episode that I think they really need to hear. You know, different things resonate with different people. And she often is someone where I literally take the direct link to that episode and I'll say, hey, listen to this one. So what I want to share with you in this mini series, it is going to be her episodes on how to increase protein and what amounts likely would be good for you. There is so much whipping around on this, and she just makes it really simple, easy, and basic. Remember, these are always rough guidelines, but how to get more protein. She will walk you through what are some of the home scales that actually do body composition testing. Are they accurate? How can you use it? Such good information. And then also how to achieve optimal health with learning how to start to do resistance training, strength training, how to bring that in. These are things that I find routinely people do not understand any of these concepts enough. So I'm so happy to share those three episodes. And then the fourth one that you're going to get here, it's what your obesity medicine doctor wants you to know about GLP-1 agonists. And that is when I came on her podcast. So we are going to release all four of these episodes today. I hope you enjoy this. I'm putting the same intro on every single one. So if you're listening to the next few in the series, just hit the little fast forward to get past this section so you can hear all the great things she says. Again, can't recommend her podcast enough. I learn so much from her and she just has a different focus. And so I think you're going to learn so much. Let me know your thoughts if you're loving this podcast. I strongly want to recommend that you not only follow her, but also leave a review for mine so that we can make sure to get other great content out like this in the future.
Well, hello there. Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start with all the things I have to tell you because gosh, there's so many different things, but I am going to bridge those for a moment because I have such an amazing guest, beyond amazing. And I love our topic. It's going to resonate with so many of you. And one of the things that comes up a lot of times as women is this whole idea about what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing and what people might think and what if we disappoint somebody and, oh gosh, somebody disappointed me and it's all of this big, huge mess. And today we're going to really be diving into one of my favorite topics. I have one amazing obesity medicine expert, Dr. Matea Rentilla. She's incredible. And not only is she an incredible physician and coach, she's really cool. Like I want to have like drinks with her. She's super awesome. And what we're going to talk about today is super cool. And really we're kind of diving into GLP-1s a little bit. We're going to talk about kind of the shame associated with using these medications that are so super useful to so many people. And we're also going to talk a bit about like, what's the process? Let's say you're a person out there and you've been doing all the right things and you're like, listen, I'm doing all the right things. And for whatever reason, you know, my cholesterol is going up now and now my hemoglobin A1C is a lot higher and I don't feel well. And so we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the process. So welcome to the show. We are so delighted to have you here.
Thank you for that really nice introduction. I am so excited to be here. I absolutely love your podcast and how you help people.
Well, thank you so much. And I just have to say that it's so cool talking with you because I think we're just so much in alignment. And I think that the really nice thing is that, you know, you're out there doing the thing and helping the people. And, you know, you're on the cutting edge of one of the, I would say, you know, biggest adjustments to one of our most chronic, you know, diseases. Like, again, thinking of obesity in terms of like we would hypertension or high cholesterol, and that we can't shy away from it anymore. And so I just love like your practical approach. And I guess what we can start with is like, what do you see when people come into you and they are interested in having, you know, medication to help with weight loss or fat loss, let's just say, so that they could be optimally healthy, but you can tell that there's just this shame associated with it. Do you see that, number one, and how do you approach it?
So I think I saw a lot of this more in the past when I was in primary care. People didn't know that there were effective tools and treatments for this. And so there was this sort of bringing up, well, I'm sort of doing all these things, you know, I'm going to the gym, I've hired a trainer, I'm really watching my diet, but I'm not losing weight. And a big thing that comes up for that, or just in general, when people come to see me now, is that other doctors have not taken them seriously. So they're almost feel that the patient is lying. And there's this sense of, well, no, bring in your food diary, you know, prove this to me. So it's not enough that you have this medical condition that you're telling me in the visit what's going on. It's saying, no, you need to prove to me that you're doing these things because I don't believe you. So it's these doctors that are really steeped in the culture of calories in, calories out, which we know is not really necessarily accurate what's happening a lot of the time. And so that's what I see a lot of. And then it's very hard for people to even get to the place with the healthcare provider where they can talk about medications because they don't even give them access to be able to do that.
Yeah, I love that so much. And then a lot of times what I've heard and what I found is that because again, you know, in the obesity medicine world, this is something we do all the time, but in the primary care world, there's difference in comfort level, I think, with even prescribing the medication. So do you see a lot of that as well?
So my journey, just people that are new to me, I started out, I'm internal medicine board certified, and I started out in primary care. And then I realized weight management was really something I was passionate about. I was sort of frustrated with all day long adjusting diabetic medications and blood pressure meds, but not ever really getting to the heart of things, to insulin resistance and sort of what was the cause for why this was happening. And so I went and did my obesity medicine board certification, and the level of knowledge that I learned, I never knew that when I was in primary care. I never knew all the options that were available. And so something I really want to tell people, if you're going to a doctor and you can tell that they have a lot of resistance as far as talking to you about these things, they literally might not know. They might not know how effective they are. If they can't tell you each medication, what percentage of body weight loss release can be expected, side effects, why it would or would not be good for you. If they can't have those conversations with you, a lot of the time what you're up against is that there's just not the knowledge. They just don't know.
Yeah, I really love that. And I think that you bring up a really kind of nice entryway for the question of when is a good time for somebody to start thinking about seeing an obesity medicine specialist? Let's just say that they do have a doctor that they like, and maybe they just have brought it up a little bit, but they kind of know they need a little something different. They want to have a really focused care plan. I guess what I'm asking is a lot of times people think that, well, you know, I don't meet this certain BMI, so I shouldn't go see an obesity medicine specialist. We're so kind of really enthralled with these numbers, but I want to give people more power to say, listen, maybe I'm not this BMI. Maybe my BMI is a 26, not a 29. I do know that I have a family history of X, Y, and Z. So I just want to help people kind of overcome potentially the shame of saying, hey, listen, I think I need more.
Yeah. This is the thing. We need to let go of the numbers defining the story. So this is number one. You know in your body if you're not comfortable moving around. You know what your labs are looking like. If they're starting to, you don't need a medicine for cholesterol, but it's starting to be up a little. You know if your weight has greatly increased in the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you just don't feel comfortable anymore. So why you would want to seek out an actual weight specialist is that the toolkit that's available is a lot bigger than when you're just seeing usually a primary care doctor. Number one, a lot of the times, I know I just said they might not know the knowledge, but even if they're knowledgeable, primary care doctors tend to be more booked up with their time. They can't say, hey, see me again in 2 weeks, see me again in a month. They don't have maybe the team built out. They might not have a dietitian as part of it or built out the resources that can support you, even if it's just a simple worksheet, a simple planning sheet. They just don't have everything built out. So often I say it's time to go see that weight specialist when you are sick and tired, because you're ready to listen to what they're going to say. And when you also want an effective strategy, so you're sick of sort of seeing if something's going to work in quote marks, you know, like for months and months, you're going to keep trying things. You actually want to work with someone where they can hear your history, your demographics, what's going on with you, and they can come up with something really targeted. I see my patients typically get success a lot quicker than when they had started with someone that didn't know as much and they're sort of floundering all over the place. And it's not rocket science what I'm recommending, right? Like, it's very basic, but I'm on them. It's like, if they didn't get the protein, they're going to know about it next month. We're going to talk about it, right? We're going to figure out strategies to do that. And often if someone's not working in this all day long, they just don't have the structure set up for you that helps you be successful quickly.
Yeah. Okay. I love this so much because you're so right. It comes down to structure for consistency. And one of the things that as you were talking, you made me think of is that, you know, a lot of my clients, a lot of my listeners, they're, you know, maybe in a BMI range of 26, 27, and they're doing the strength and they're doing the nutrition and their numbers are starting to creep and they have, you know, history of maybe they had gestational diabetes and they have a couple of aunts who have type 2 diabetes and this is happening, right? And they don't meet the criteria for the medication. So they're not going to be able to get the medication. So can you speak just a little bit on kind of how it can be a difficult struggle a lot of times helping, yet we should definitely still encourage these patients to come forward and to start their journey on kind of really targeting their most optimal health.
Yeah. So here's the challenge that happens with weight management. There is tons of bias and stigma. And so what this means is you literally have walked in the door and you're already getting judged. No one's even asking you about your journey. No one, you might have already lost 50 pounds. And by the way, that means, so all these things need to be taken into account because maybe you're at what's quote unquote an acceptable weight conventionally, but maybe you are struggling to stay there and you keep wanting to go back to a higher weight. So the actual history needs to be taken. But for someone to actually do this, they need to usually have had training to recognize their own bias and stigma. In fact, even providers that are overweight, we see in studies that they might be even more stigmatizing to the patient. So it's not to say, oh, well, she's overweight, she gets me. That's not necessarily true. So here's the tricky thing. You've got to keep going until you find someone that you feel gets you, understands you, and is providing you with a plan that's working in your world. And it's going to be different for everyone. Like, I'm not going to be the doctor that's going to work perfectly for everyone, but I want you to keep going until you find that doctor. And I want to open up the thought that this help might not just be from the primary care doctor. It might be from a telehealth company. It might be from a coach and then they know someone. You've got to kind of just keep your eyes and ears open. Where are people getting help from? And you see if that person can maybe help you out as well. And everything needs to be looked at. Any obesity medicine doctor will tell you, we have that name, but we are not just looking at what a BMI is. Again, for example, history with gestational diabetes, massively important. And I can share, I went through this myself. I know my risk later for converting to type 2 diabetes through the roof, right? So that has mattered. Like, I have very much so prioritized the type of way I'm eating and what I'm doing I'm proud to say I reversed pre-diabetes in the past. Those things matter. We need a doctor that knows that, that's willing to dig, that's willing to find out if you have an eating disorder. So one out of three people that struggle with their weight are going to have binge eating disorder. We've got to diagnose these things properly. It's one of these silent things. No one's going to bring it up because you don't actually know it's disordered. You don't actually know there's a problem. But if you talk to the right people, we're digging, 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 and that's coming out. And guess what? Then you have effective treatment. If we just give you a med and don't know what's going on, you're never actually making progress.
Mind blown. Totally. And what I love what you said is the digging piece, because you will know that you found your person when they are willing to dig. And they're willing, I think also too, to look outside the box. Because one of the ways I really started to kind of, many of my clients are on GLP-1s. And again, like you mentioned, they had to kind of find their way around it. And in fact, you know, many of them had to go through like, you know, some pretty like different measures to be able to get a medication that they actually are really benefiting from. With all that being said, the idea is, I like to say, you know what, the med is not a magic bullet. It's not like you're going to inject the med. Let's just say you're talking GLP-1s because there's other weight loss medications. And all of a sudden you're just going to like lose all this weight. What I say, and I would love your opinion and thoughts on this, I just say we're leveling the playing field. Yes. You still got to do the work.
Yes. I can't tell you this enough. So I'll just tell you from a friend of mine went on the medication and she just said, Matea, I thought I was going to go on it and everything was going to be better. Like no thoughts of emotional eating, no times of wanting to eat a cookie. And we don't have that magic yet, right? Like I didn't pack lightning today. Like that does not exist yet. However, let me tell you this, when you say leveling the playing field, and a lot of these things, I'm coming from the perspective of helping hundreds of patients, hearing their stories and hearing my own story. I'll share, I'm on the medication Wegovy, and I, due to shame of having access to it and having, you know, sort of care, I held off so long because I thought I should be able to do this on my own. I was doing all the coaching, I was doing all the things, and there was only so far I could take myself. And so I know this firsthand, but when you take the medications, a lot of people that have weight challenges, they have a constant food noise and this track going on. And what this looks like, if you've never experienced it, if you know, you're like, yes, I know, but you're always thinking, when am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Did I eat the right amount? You might not ever have the signaling like you've had enough. Like you just don't get that signaling with food. So it could be a healthy portion, all these things. So there's no intuitive relationship happening. And these medications restore some of that. You can tell when enough is. You don't constantly think about food. And so you can implement all those behavior changes and sustainably stick with them. But you've got to do those things for it to be effective. Like you've got to eat the protein, eat the fiber. Number one, you're going to feel really sick if you don't. But number two, you're going to lose muscle, right? Like all these things. But it's also not going to be effective. Like the medication's not working properly if you don't do those things.
Yes. I love that, because I think what it does then is it kind of, you know, a lot of times people, I'll have clients, right? And I'll know, like they'll come in and okay. So let's just put it this way. So maybe they worked with me in like Transform 3.0. Right. And they're like, oh, wow, I can do all the workouts now. I'm really strong. And they didn't maybe get to their body composition goal that they had. And then next round, they're like, I'm going to sign on again. And then they come on again. And then I'll notice they're doing the same exact thing. And I've noticed the body composition is significantly changing. And then I'll say, I won't say anything. I'll just wait. And then they'll say, well, and also I started. I'm like, perfect. I wanted you to see that this, you're doing the work. If you weren't doing the work, you wouldn't have seen anything happen. You're doing the work. You're creating this. This is simply stabilizing things in a way where kind of your, I don't know, insulin and ghrelin and leptin and all those things are working appropriately. And now that's why you're seeing it. So you were always doing the work, but you needed a mechanism to level the playing field. And I can tell you that of all the people that I've seen, and there's been multiple where that has happened, they come in and they're doing it and nothing. We do this one little intervention, massive, right? But let's just say that they weren't doing it and we did the intervention, it would be like nothing ever happened.
Totally. And often, you know, if you're someone who's sitting home and you think maybe a medication might be helpful, but you're steeped in the shame of I shouldn't need a medicine, and you're in that whole narrative, which I think we're starting to move past it, but not many people are there yet. If that's the case, there's nothing wrong with, I love your approach where I often tell people, okay, pick a 6-month period where you say, I'm going to work on XYZ. And if I can't lose the weight during that period, or I'm not getting the type of results I want, then I will entertain a medication. That's what I did for myself. I always had this internalized bias, like, you need to work harder, you need to do more, you're the problem, right? That's internalized bias when you hear that. And I said, fine, here's the timeline. You've worked on it for 3 years, but now you're going to get serious for 6 months. And it didn't matter. That's when I knew, all right, we have permission to go get help, right? So whatever you need to do to access that level of care.
I love that. And then the other thing that has come up, which I love your approach to it, the idea that people will notice. So let's say we have somebody and they're doing all the right things. They level the playing field with a little medication and everybody around them starts to notice. And because of what's in the media, if they mention that they are using a medication, let's just say GLP-1, then automatic the bias is like, oh, well, you took the easy way out. And clearly we know that, and this is what I want to get your opinion on, because I love talking about this. I would argue that being on medication is not the easy way out because of the commitment that you actually have to make to maintain your muscle mass. Okay. And to do it the right way. So I think it's more of a commitment to actually commit to the medication. And so I like to say that because I think that it empowers people that it can really benefit that. Listen, no, actually you had to make a huge commitment to going ahead on this journey because you're all in. You're for real now.
Yeah. It's what you said. It's number one, you're having to take this shot every week or daily or whatever you're doing. You're having to make sure that you're getting that protein intake. You're having to potentially sometimes work through side effects, right? So why, when people are thinking that, oh, it's just this easy route, sometimes people are really having to work through a lot of things in the name of getting some extra help. Maybe there's some fatigue involved. There are definitely things that can be involved when you're on these medications, but the price is something that you've never been able to do before without getting this help. Mm-hmm. And it's never the easy route. This surgery, your life is dramatically altered by these things. Something I hear when people get on the meds, they don't have a desire sometimes for certain foods anymore. You know, like, let's just take a brownie, right? As an example. And there's a mourning in that because food used to be a really easy way to get coping, right? A really easy strategy for that. And they actually need to grieve that. And they don't know that that's going to come because they think it's going to be magical to not want to eat or to eat less, but their whole life is radically shifted. It's just like surgery. So there's a lot that goes into it. And so why are we minimizing that journey for someone? We ultimately don't know anyone else's path. And I don't know why we always think we can have an opinion of what is or is not needed for someone. We don't do that in any other area other than weight management usually.
Yeah. And I love that. And what I usually say to people is that it's nobody's business anyways. So you can share, not share, whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, it's between you and your doctor, your coach even. You brought up something really cool that I definitely want to hit on. The idea of food desire and food chatter. And what I have found with my clients who have had significant progress on GLP-1s. I mean, I have some people that have lost 70 pounds and they've maintained or gained muscle mass while losing that 70 pounds. And because they have put this to rest and they have welcomes the most authentic version of their body because that's what they believe. That's how they saw themselves. They now are going to places that they weren't willing to go to before in their mind. So they weren't willing to get over past traumas. They weren't there yet. And I don't want to use that loosely because like, obviously we all have, you know, some, you know, little T's and whatnot, but let's just say there's like things that they needed to deal with, but they just couldn't get there. Yeah. And so, that was the one thing I wanted to say that I kind of came out from what I reflected on for you just saying, but also this piece about it being like, you're making the commitment and doing it. And gosh, there's so many things now. Now I'm kind of having a little bit of like a runaround in my head, but I was really fired up about that one point about how like, yeah. And you don't have to tell anyone and all this stuff. So I can't remember right now, but you had a really good point that I was going to hit on. And then I thought of three more. It'll come back to me. But what I want to go ahead and follow up with then is kind of this idea of when people come in, what do you think are their biggest concerns? Like if you deem, you're like, okay, actually, I do think the medication is appropriate for you. What are some of the things they're most concerned about with starting a medication?
Yeah. Okay. So number one, if they get a doctor that's like, yes, this is appropriate for you. And yes, they want to do it. Everybody's really worried about side effects. Mm-hmm. They have heard just nightmares about it. And I'm not saying that you're not going to get side effects, but let me say this. If you're working with a physician that is familiar with these medications, there are just sort of like bare basics. For example, with the GLP-1s, I make sure that patients are properly hydrated. You're going to be more nauseous. You're going to be more fatigued if you're not, right? Mm-hmm. That they're getting protein, that they're getting fiber, that they're spacing meals out. There's all these tips and tricks and techniques that we can use for those fears so that they're not having significant side effects. The other thing I want to say is I think people have this fallacy that like we're going to pick something and we're going to do it and then we're never again going to change our mind and change a med. Right? So if it doesn't work, we change the approach. We change the dosing. We change the timing. We pick something else. So just realize like there's no all or nothing here. You're going to get to pivot. And if there's a shortage, we're going to switch to something else. So there's this fear of the side effects, the fear they're not going to be able to get it, the hysteria that goes into filling medication early so that they can kind of stockpile. But it's for valid reason because the drug manufacturer companies are really not keeping up with demand. I mean, the percentage of the population that qualifies for this versus what they're producing, it's just, it really makes no sense, you know? So I think they're starting to catch up with that, but it translates to patients having a lot of fear of access to the medications, what's going to happen if they can't get them. And I always stress, if you're under the care of the right team, they will be able to pivot you to something, even if it's an oral generic option. So I think everyone kind of learned a year ago about Ozempic, and that's like all that everyone ever knows. Yeah. There's a lot of other medications. GLP-1s have been out for over 20 years. We've got options. We've got oral things that we can use. There are dietary things we can do. There's just a lot there. But if you don't know that, I always tell patients, there's a lot you need to worry about, but not that you're not going to be able to have a medication. That will always figure out at whatever price point, whatever you can do. And then working through side effects, that's going to be part of it likely. And just not having fear with that, we have answers for all of it. And if we don't, we're going to get you off of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then do you get a lot of, and I actually thought of my last thing that I totally spun around on and couldn't remember. So I'll come back to that. But do you get a lot of concerns with the black box on medullary thyroid potentially seen in rats, even though we haven't seen it in humans?
I don't, because I explain that to people, right? I go through that logic. Hey, it's, you know, we don't have the same cell types and we this and we that. So I explain all of it. And the other thing that I'm really big into with patients is explaining the risk benefit. So yes, there's a theoretical risk, but the benefit is that we're going to possibly prevent 13 types of cancers. And a lot of my patients are women, right? So a lot of it's like we're preventing breast cancer, uterine cancer, endometrial. And then a lot of my patients too, they will come after they've had a cancer, whether it be breast cancer, thyroid cancer, they want to prevent a recurrence. They know that there's that aspect. So I have this conversation. I say, look, this is the way I see it. There's metabolic changes. There are cancers that can develop. This is what I'm worried about. Functionally, you wearing through joints quicker. I go through all that and I say, yes, these other risks are there, risks of side effects, risk of, you know, theoretical for cancers, things like that. But again, to me, it feels like it's weighted much more on the side of benefit than risk. So I think that's, the doctor has to have that conversation.
I love that, because right there, I mean, the idea that just decreasing the insulin resistance alone, right? Like what can that actually do for a person? And that's the other beauty of it. You know, if you think about like, okay, well, there's somebody coming in and they want to do like some kind of weight loss medication to drop pounds on the scale. That's one thing. But then somebody coming in, and again, if we're calling kind of, you know, excess weight or whatnot being, we're talking about it in terms of treating it like we would anything else, then we also have to look at it like, okay, we're going to treat it like we would anything else. And so we're going to go all in versus like, no, the number on the scale, like you mentioned, like, I don't even care. It's like, no, like, what are your numbers doing? I mean, I have people that honestly have been on GLP-1s, have not lost much weight. Their cholesterol's perfect now. They're like in an incredible hemoglobin A1C range. They're happier. They're healthier. They're more energetic. They're not having those sugar crashes. Like, they're just more stable with their blood sugar. So they're in a better mood. So I love that part.
Well, you bring up a really good point. And this is like, we're just at a really fun place in history because it's being created. Because what we're seeing is so many of those mental health benefits, like they're every day a new thing is coming out that these GLP-1s are helping with. So it's quite amazing. Like they're studying it for addiction. So if someone's a little bit more prone to going to alcohol, you know, not even if you have the diagnosis of alcoholism, but let's just say it's just a struggle for you. Like you just feel like, I don't want to have that glass at night, but I keep having it. We're starting to see that GLP-1s are becoming, they're studying them for treatment for things like that. I hear universally my patients just lose taste for alcohol. So it's really exciting what's coming out of this. And the benefits, like you said, it's always more than what the scale's doing. That's like the last thing that is usually happening.
I love it. So what you were saying before, which was like a point that I was so enamored with that I lost my train of thought. When you're talking about the brownie and kind of like mourning the loss of that brownie, one of the other things that I'm sure you see this as well, that I've had to work through with my clients is that it used to be way easier to make that bad feeling go away with their bag of chips. And now they have that bad feeling and that chip bag does not sound good. And that is distressing.
Yeah. So you know what I find, and I don't know if your clients say this, but there's just a lot more crying involved. And I'm like, you need to let it out. I'm a big fan of crying. I'll be the first to say it. And I feel great, but I cry on the regular and you need to let those feelings out in some way. So I know you're big into movement and that's, you know, emotions and movement. So we can move, we can cry, we can have human connection. There are ways that we can find a pivot to help with this, but some dam is going to burst and it's okay if you cry. Just realize you're letting go of a lot of stress hormones. You've processed it real quick. You'll likely feel so much better after you do. That's what I find with people. They're just noticing their emotions more and they're having to figure out what to do with them. And hopefully like your program, my program, like we're trying to help them with what to do with that. Cause that's a scary land if you've never had to actually confront those things.
No, I love that. And I actually love the fact that you're in practice as an obesity medicine doctor, and also you're a coach as well. Can you just talk just a little bit? Cause that's, I mean, everybody wants to be able to do that. Like everybody wants to say, okay, cause we know that we need, you know, well, when we talk about the pillars, right? It's like nutrition, exercise, mindset work with CBT in general, and then medication would be the next thing. So can you just talk a little bit about how the coaching angle, because the way that you'll be able to bring in that emotional regulation piece, that's not going to be your standard typical thing that your doctor's going to tell you.
No. And this is everyone online. So I do a lot of stuff on like TikTok and things like that. And they're all like, where can I find a doctor like you? And I'm like, okay, find someone that's obesity medicine board certified and has done coaching and passionate about it. It's like, it's a hard mix, right? So, yes. So everyone's different, but for me, I couldn't not do the two together. So the problem is I can give you all the practical information in the world, but there is always going to be an implementation problem because we are humans and we live based on our feelings, and feelings are embodied experiences. You might have never embodied the feelings that are going to come up for you. So we know that you're going to be headed into uncharted territory. And if we don't give you the skills, I just see that the drop-off rate is really high. Like people cannot actually get it done. And even with me offering all these things, there's still people that they're overwhelmed, no matter how simple I make it. But I try to explain to them, like, these things do not exist in isolation. We're human. We have thoughts. You had certain experiences growing up. Like, this all matters. It really does.
Absolutely. Okay. I could literally talk to you all day. That's for real. Can you tell us how to find you? And please also mention where you do your medical practice, like what states like you cover and whatnot as well. But tell us all the things, best place to find you. I will link everything in the show notes, but just to kind of give like a little overview about how people can follow you and find you and maybe work with you.
Oh, that. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been great. So the best place to find me is my website, and it's RenteaClinic.com, R-E-N-T-E-A. And there you can find, first of all, if you want to work with me as a patient, I see patients right now currently telehealth in Indiana and Illinois, and likely in the coming months in Wisconsin. So if one of those three states, there's even a wait list that you can get on if you're in Wisconsin. And then from there, you can also see links to my podcast. It's The Obesity Guide with Matea Rentea, MD. I get into these topics, medication, the mindset part, kind of bringing it all together, right? And then you can also find links there to my TikTok. Everything on social is always Matea Rentea, MD. So that's on TikTok, Instagram, all of it. I like doing social because I think that the social justice part of people learning that there are effective treatments, that you're not broken, that we have tools. People didn't know this. And I can't tell you how many people have told me based on my social, because of you, I learned there was a medication that might work and now my life has changed. So that's why I get out there and I do all this work. And it's not just me with patients, because I can only take care of so many.
I love this so much. And I am super excited for so many people to continue to find you and listen to you, because you are just such a wealth of knowledge and support, and you're such a genuine human. So thank you so much for being here today and chatting with me.
Thank you for having me on.
I love it so much. All right, my friends. So exciting, amazing things happening, and we hope that we see you soon, especially in one of our upcoming programs. We are now pleased to announce our Fit Woman Collective program. We will also link that link in the show notes, and this is for any high-performing woman who wants to optimize their health. So we're super excited to offer this, and we hope to see you there. All right, my friends, until next time, we'll see you soon.